Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, we got a great lineup for you here this morning. We'll still have some time to do some open phones portions of the show as well, maybe around 7:30. We got another guest around 7:40. 8 o'clock hour, we'll have some time to sneak in your phone calls. Same deal with the 9 o'clock hour. Governor Greg Gianforte is going to join us later on in the 9 o'clock hour, so that'll be fun catching up with him. But right now, great guest in studio. The president of the University of Montana is in the house. Is it Board of Regents time? Is that what's going on today?
It sure is, Aaron. Yeah, we have the Montana University Assistant Board of Regents here at MSU Billings, and it's fantastic to be in Billings on quite a rainy morning.
You know, it's funny, 20 years ago when I was involved in student government at the University of Montana, I could have probably, listed every item on the Board of Regents agenda, and we could have had, a good back and forth for the next 30 minutes, but I'm so out of the loop of those types of issues now.
But we have your successors that are following in your footsteps. One thing is about U of M students, and you're maybe the prime example, is they're engaged. They're aware of what's going on, and they're watching. And they're holding people accountable and making sure that they're working through issues. So,
what are the big agenda items for this Board of Regents meeting?
You know, this board, we, it's a normal flow. This is one where we look at the budgets for the next fiscal year. That's one of the bigger issues. And, there's nothing too controversial. I mean, the university system and UM in particular, UM's enrollment's growing. You know, we're in a healthy, much healthier budget spot than we've been. And so it'll be a good discussion, good chance for MSU Billings really to shine and see the impact of that university here in this community.
I was going to say, there's the Yellowstone effect from the Yellowstone TV show that put the spotlight on Montana. There's the lockdown effect, where a lot of students wanted to come to Montana to escape what was going on mm-hmm. on the coasts and elsewhere in some of the bigger cities. But then Montana's just growing. And so as a result, it seems like Montana campuses, including the University of Montana, are benefiting from that growth.
You know, I think, and I have to look at overall system enrollment, and I don't know the exact numbers. We're not to our reporting dates yet for this year. But what I can tell you about the University of Montana is we are growing. This will be our seventh straight semester of enrollment growth, which is fantastic. And and that's a function of telling more students about what we're working through. It's also a function of more students being successful. We've really focused on not just bringing students to the university, but making sure that they're successful. Our retention rates have increased. Our four-year graduation rate over the past 5 years has increased by a third. So
what were the enrollment numbers looking like this fall? I know sometimes the enrollment number can differ from the actual. Here's who actually showed up to sit in the seats.
Well, look, we don't report our official enrollment numbers for another week or so. We have to get payments in. But we'll be up again this year by at least a few percent.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, because I think I saw MSU in Bozeman. They're at 17,000 was enrollment for them. Up on both UM and MSU. Well, lots to talk about here. With University of Montana President Seth Bodnar, also a fellow veteran as well. And so thanks for your service. Look forward to catching up more right after this quick break right here on Montana Talks.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. The battle for the House is now coming into sharper focus with just a month and a half before Election Day. Down-ballot races, such as for the House, entered a slight holding pattern over the summer as there was some uncertainty over the top of the Democratic ticket. Until his departure from the race on July 21st, President Biden was headed for defeat by former President Trump. That threatened to torpedo Democratic chances of winning the House and holding the Senate. Now, with Vice President Harris as the Democratic presidential nominee, the party's congressional candidates have a better, albeit slim, chance of holding the Senate. The House is completely in play. The path to a majority has been a little bit easier for Republicans throughout the cycle. While Democrats have needed to win 9 of the 10 races rated as toss-up by Inside Elections to get to 218, Republicans needed just to win 2 rated as toss-ups. The silver lining for Democrats has been that President Biden finished ahead of Mr. Trump in 9 of the 10 toss-ups in 2020 in an era with minimal ticket splitting. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. Rain continues across the area today as high temperatures will stay from the upper 50s to the lower 60s. Also staying with winds out of the west gusting for around 15 to 25. For tonight, rain showers early on especially, then back in the mid-40s to around 50. Thursday, partly sunny skies with highs in the upper 60s to mid-70s. That's a look at your real weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, you talk about another enrollment increase for the University of Montana, and now the year-over-year increases in enrollment at the University of Montana. We'll get the numbers more, sounds like, here in another week or so. But President Bodnar, I wonder, one of the things I've heard from our friends in Bozeman in particular, and, you know, kids that were either going to Montana State University or thought of going to Montana State University, I've heard that they're like, that one of the reasons they maybe chose not to make that decision was because of the high housing costs in Bozeman and in the Gallatin Valley in particular. Obviously, you know, the larger towns across Montana are dealing with that same issue. How big of an issue is that in Missoula right now?
Yeah.
But I did see you guys opened up a new housing facility on campus as well.
Yeah, look, I think housing is a challenge across the entire state, something we have to work through. And at the University of Montana, we're not immune to that. Our students have significant concerns about rising costs of housing. And it's one of the reasons we're refreshing our stock of housing at the university. We've refurbished two of our dorms. And we're in the process. We just broke ground on a new dorm that will replace some of our dorms that have an average age of about 87 years. So we're in the midst of an infrastructure renewal. Again, not to provide luxury. We're not a university that's building lazy rivers and those types of things. But we do want to make sure that our students have adequate facilities to live and to learn.
I got to say, this was almost the topic I was going to start with this morning, because I never know what we're going to talk about. But I got to say, I'm so proud of the University of Montana, the athletic department, the coaches, the staff there. We had this incredible student athlete and student journalist by the name of Lily Meskers on this show. She broke a big story about these endorsement deal opportunities that are, you know, open to all college campuses across the country. But anyway, she broke a major story, ended up getting national and international news attention. I was worried she was going to get some blowback. She was going to get some pushback. There were going to be people, you know, intimidating her for breaking this big news story, especially since it was, you know, a political story as well. And she, last time I spoke with her, she just praised the athletic department and the team there. And so, anyway, a good news report, because so often in the news, it's more of, well, let's bring up the tough subjects. And it's good to point out the good news as well.
No, it is. And I appreciate that. One of the things that we really hold dear at the University of Montana is that we're going to fervently defend every member of our community's First Amendment rights. You know, that everyone has a right to their opinion, to share that opinion. Now, we're not going to let that right infringe on somebody's right to get an education in a safe environment. But our students, as you well know from your own experience, Aaron, you were one of the most active students at the university in your day, and UM students are engaged. But we're really focused on making sure that our students engage in a civil, respectful way, that they debate ideas. They don't shout speakers down. We don't silence people, but we engage with people with a spirit of respect.
Speaking of these name, image, likeness sponsorships, I was surprised to see a press release from Governor Greg Gianforte, and apparently all of the Western state governors, several of the Western state governors, are sounding the alarm. Apparently, the NCAA reached a $2.8 billion settlement with D1 student athletes, and now these big college campuses may be forced to pay back pay for these endorsement deals for these student athletes. But that could be a huge hit for smaller schools, smaller, not smaller, but you know, you get for states like Montana, whether it's MSU or UM, have you been looking into this and seeing what kind of potential hit UM could face if this goes forward?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's one of the things we've expressed our concerns about this. You know, it's the landscape of college athletics is changing. Significantly. Now, that's mostly at the Ohio States, Penn States, Michigan kind of SEC world, right? These, you know, I think there was a recent article that looked at the average SEC roster of players is receiving the total pay for through NIL deals for Ohio State this year is about over $20 million.
Wow.
For that roster.
Yeah, I mean, you could be a millionaire college athlete. Which I think is cool. I think it's cool because they can get an education. I mean, if I can go make money waiting tables in college, why can't that student athlete make money playing football?
Well, and I think there's a legitimate case for that, of course. You know, there's a lot of money in TV deals and things, and the coaches, I mean, are obviously getting salaries. The players have a right to, I think, share in some of that. We're not seeing anywhere near that level of expenditure at, you know, the Grizz and the Bobcats, right? And so our frustration is, as we think about this back pay, this it's called the house settlement, that we want that to be equitable. We don't want that burden to fall more heavily on smaller universities like ours, where we're really, it truly is amateurism is alive and well at our level. And so we just want to, we'd like to see that distribution of how that pay is spent to be more equitable.
Yeah, they may not have the big Nike shoe endorsements or things like that, but it's kind of cool seeing, like, you know, Tommy Mallott in a Rockin' R Bar commercial, or I'm sure in Missoula, there's probably like Carl Tyler Chevrolet stuff. What kind of endorsement deals have you seen there?
You know, look, there's a lot of companies and organizations that reach out to our student athletes, and our athletics department passes that along. You know, I think it's good for our student athletes, it's good for the community too. I mean, passion is very strong for the Grizz and the Bobcats across our great state.
20 seconds to go before our break, and then you want to stick around for a few more minutes?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, great. All right. What's the biggest, what do you think is the most heated topic that'll be at the Regents meetings today, or just the most debated topic?
Oh, good question. You know, again, I think it's always important to just make sure we have clear budgets for the year ahead. I don't think that'll be heated, but that's the most important for sure.
Yeah, there's always some lines in there that might draw some attention in particular. All right, well, we'll take a quick break here on Montana Talks, get to your Farm and Ranch report, and then more with University of Montana President Seth Bodnar. We'll talk about some big research grants they've landed, student debt, and much more.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
The media have long been fascinated by Sean Diddy Combs, but in a federal sex trafficking indictment unsealed yesterday, he was described, as New York Times puts it, as the boss of a years-long criminal enterprise that threatened and abused women, coercing them to participate against their will in drug-fueled orgies with male prostitutes and threatening them with violence or the loss of financial support if they refused. And prosecutors say he has to remain behind bars. No bond. They're going to oppose that, given that he and his employees are charged with engaging in kidnapping, forced labor, arson, and bribery, and they had assault weapons there as well. Now, his lawyer said he didn't do anything wrong. One turning point was his former girlfriend, Cassie, who filed a suit against him. And then the real turning point was when CNN ran disgusting video of him kicking and pushing her down the hallway. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. Rain continues across the area today as high temperatures will stay from the upper 50s to the lower 60s. Also staying with winds out of the west, gusting for around 15 to 25. For tonight, rain showers early on especially, then back in the mid-40s to around 50. Thursday, partly sunny skies with highs in the upper 60s to mid-70s. That's a look at your real weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
This is where Montana Talks at with Lane Nordland.
The 2024 Montana Angus Tour is officially underway here today, based out of Lewistown. And while the wind is blowing and the rain is falling down, we will not cuss this good weather. We are spending the day in the beautiful Judith Basin, and the wind has never blown here a day in its life. It just decided to blow here today. I hope you hear the humor in my voice, but it is a great day of looking at some high-quality cattle. We are stopping at Goggler Angus out in Judith Gap, Car Angus over in Hobson, along with Stevenson's Diamond Dot. Also, the Little Belt Classic, Mickelson and Frank Angus families, and the feedlot there, Judith Basin County Farms. And for Kevin Arnson, who just became the president of the Montana Angus Association, and his family's also hosting a tour stop tomorrow. It's one heck of an opportunity to showcase high-quality cattle to individuals from across the nation and the world.
We got some good ranches on board, good host town in Lewistown, and just jump on buses and go look at cattle, see some new scenery if you haven't been here. And
there's a lot of folks that have not been here. Several European cattle producers and South American producers joining us this week. And Lewistown, and an update on yesterday's golf tournament on the Angus Tour. Kevin Arnson, Rick Burgum, and Dan Dykeman and myself won the tournament. I'm Lane Northline.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, University of Montana President Seth Bodnar joining us in studio here for just a few more minutes, and then he's got to run, head to Board of Regents meetings and more. But, yeah, we're live on 970 KBUL Billings, 1450 KMMS Bozeman, 1340 KPRK Livingston, and then, of course, KXTL in Butte, America, right now as well. So you got some bobcats listening, you got some grizz listening, and then you got our friends in Butte, which are like right there, ready to fight everybody,
exactly,
right? And host everybody at the same time too. You know,
yep.
Do they still do it where the traveling team for Cat Grizz stops at Medals? I think that I knew for a few years that's what they were doing. You know, if the Cats were going to Missoula, they'd stop in Butte. And if the Grizz are going to Boat, they stop in Butte. So,
you know, I think I'm actually not sure where they stop. I think each of those, you know, coaches are pretty particular about where they go and that timing and that game prep. So I think they, but they might. I'll have to follow up and check that out.
Speaking of Butte, I got my Up Top Clothing t-shirt on.
Yeah.
Started by Montana alumni, Grizz athletes, and I caught up with Colt in Butte recently, actually, while they were doing a sports camp for the kids. He's still coaching for the Tennessee Titans now, but I didn't know this. He and his brother own the Mo Club in Missoula, too.
Yeah, they are great Montanans, great Grizz, and just people who have had such success. You look at Colt's story, a walk-on that plays in the NFL, coach in the NFL. I mean, it's a great Butte story, but just a great example that they come back and they contribute. You know, they are committed to serving this community, and we're just very proud of Colt and how he embodies that, the heart of the Grizzly.
I reached out to our friend Dennis Bragg, who does our Montana State News Network reports for us, and you know, he made the point that the University of Montana landed some pretty big research grants here recently, so it might be interesting to see how that impacts not just the UM campus but the state as a whole. There's a fire center in particular, which sounds very interesting.
Yeah, no, look, our research enterprise, we've really doubled that over the past decade in terms of the amount of research happening at the university. And, you know, we were named a couple of years back as an R1 research institution, top 4% of the universities around the world. And that's impactful. And it's not just research that's happening in an ivory tower. It's research that's impacting Montanans. For example, you mentioned the fire center, looking at how we understand and how we respond to fire, which is a constant of life here in the Rocky Mountain West. Things also like the Montana Climate Office, which has, you know, moisture content, snowpack monitoring stations all across the Upper Missouri River Basin, giving information not just to the U.S. Army Corps of Engineer downstream looking at dams, but to farmers and ranchers across our state. It's also things like the Skaggs Institute for Health Innovation that is focused on the delivery of rural health care, making sure that people all across our great state, whether you're in one of our cities or not, that you have access to cutting edge medical care for yourself and your family. Those are the types of research activities happening at the university.
Well, and that hydro data and the snowpack data, that was one of the things we learned when the massive floods, you know, hit the Paradise Valley, Yankee Jim Canyon, and south of Livingston, and hit the Red Lodge area in particular. I remember talking with Tom Koontz at the time, and one of the things that caught them off guard was they didn't have sensors, I think it was high enough up, to know truly not only how much snowpack was actually up there, but how the warm temperatures in that early June combined with the rain falling down. We're getting hit with a bunch of rain in Billings right now. How that, you know, led to this, just, and they could have gotten a little bit more advance warning, maybe, had they known just how much water was going to be coming out.
Yeah. Look, information is power. And that's what the Montana Climate Office is with these monitoring stations. It's giving better decision support to farmers and ranchers across the state. I understand what's coming. I understand where I am. I can adjust things. And that's important.
As long as we can keep Steve running from, you know, pushing this climate alarmist agenda that threatens Montana agriculture, oil, gas, and coal. Because, you know, sometimes these climate alarmists, I think, threaten the Montana economy with some of their, you know, ideological agenda.
Well, look, you know, we're going to, again, knowledge is power. And information is power. And that's what our researchers are focused on. Understanding the science, understanding how we can make better decisions as individuals and as a community is really important. That's what we focus on with our research enterprise.
All right. Seth Bodner, president of the University of Montana. We got about 30 seconds before our Fox News update. Anything else you want to tell folks across Montana?
No, look, we're just, it's these Board of Regents meetings are always important. It's a great chance to see the value of the Montana University system and the impact on our communities. Education and training is essential to the long-term health of our state. You know, I have three kiddos who are the sixth generation in their family to be growing up in this state, and so we're all about serving the future of Montana, and we're grateful for the support of everyone across this great state.
Well, we'll have to get you back next time when there's no Board of Regents meeting, so we can get you in longer. And because, man, we were talking off air about, you know, what's going on with less college attendance nationally across the country, despite an enrollment increase here in Montana. So it'd be fun to analyze why that's taking place as well.
Right.
All right, Seth Bodner, great to see you.
All right, thanks, Ann.
Thanks for joining us. Quick, right there is the challenge. That right there is the challenge facing Speaker of the House Mike Johnson with such a slim Republican majority in the House of Representatives. We talked about the SAVE Act in the 6 o'clock hour of the show. This is a bill that would require that if people are going to be voting in our American elections, that they are actually American citizens. And then they aren't, you know, one of these folks on the terror watch list that are invading our country through the wide open southern border. But frankly, it doesn't even matter if you're a good person from another country. U.S. citizens are the only people that should be voting in our elections. And the Democrats do not want that bill to pass. And so here's the deal. How do you get the SAVE Act across the finish line? You attach it to a spending bill, a must-pass spending bill. Now, that spending bill isn't going to go far enough for some, especially the Democrats that always want to spend trillions more. And it's not going to go far enough in terms of lowering spending like you and I and others would want. But at the end of the day, they've got to unite at some point to force something like the SAVE Act to get across the finish line, force the Senate to vote on it. And if it miraculously gets through the Senate, force Joe Biden to veto it and force Kamala Harris to defend that veto. But instead, you got, you know, you're going to have virtue signalers likely out there. Well, I'm against it because of this. And then my concern is that you'll never get a vote on the SAVE Act because we have too slim of a House majority in Congress. But hopefully they can force that SAVE Act one way or another here in the next few days. But the bottom line is this, is that flip-flop, flat-top John Tester, like he does with everything else, he will claim to support the SAVE Act, but then he will vote against it when it actually matters. And he has already told us that he will vote against the SAVE Act. He has already said that he doesn't believe the SAVE Act should be attached to this spending bill. Listen to Chad Pergram's report. I shared another report in the 6 o'clock hour. This is Chad Pergram, the Capitol Hill correspondent for Fox News Radio. This is what his report had to say on this topic.
House Speaker Mike Johnson is daring lawmakers, including Republicans, to reject a bill which funds the government and mandates that people prove they are citizens to vote. The bill likely fails tomorrow. That could force the House to accept a Senate bill. Government funding expires in 2 weeks. Senate Democrats view Johnson's plan as an effort to court MAGA Republicans and please former President Trump.
The House is simply choosing to waste time.
Some Republicans worry about the consequences of a government shutdown.
It would be politically beyond stupid for us to do that.
Lawmakers on both sides of the aisle want to stock the interim spending bill with extra money for the Secret Service. However, some conservatives doubt the agency needs it.
They already have enough money in the Secret Service. They just are not. Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, and the Secret Service leadership are refusing to fully protect Donald Trump with the resources they already got. And oh, by the way, Chuck Schumer, he's simply trying to protect his buddy John Tester. He doesn't want to vote.
Bullet points.
I'm Eben Brown. Another attempt on the life of former President Donald Trump is leading to more questions, especially concerning the vast and expensive apparatus charged with protecting him. Unlike the Pennsylvania incident, the would-be assassin in Florida was captured alive and his firearm recovered at the scene. Law enforcement described it as an AK-47-style rifle. But in federal court on Monday, the two federal charges initially filed were possession of a firearm by a convicted felon and possession of a firearm with serial number obliterated. The suspected gunman has a prior record, meaning he should not have been able to pass a background check, and it is highly unlikely a licensed and reputable firearms dealer sold him a rifle with its serial number destroyed. It is likely he acquired it through underground means and not in a way that even enhanced background checking would have caught or red flag laws would have stopped. And those are your bullet points. I'm Eben Brown, Fox News.
I'm Gianna Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute. Sean Diddy Combs has been indicted on federal sex trafficking and racketeering charges, accusing him of forced labor and abusing, threatening, and coercing women over a decade, distributing narcotics, and presiding over an empire of sexual crimes. The indictment mentions the now-famous freak-off parties, calling them elaborate and produced sex performances that Combs arranged, directed, masturbated during, and often electronically recorded. His lawyer, Mark Agnifilo, as he headed into court.
He's not guilty. He's innocent of these charges.
The 54-year-old was arrested in Manhattan Monday, roughly 6 months after his mansions in Los Angeles and Miami were raided. Combs has faced a wave of lawsuits accusing him of sexual assault and misconduct since November, when his ex, Cassie Ventura, sued him in federal court, accusing him of years of abuse. The two settled out of court. Prosecutors say in late 2023, Combs and his associates pressured victims and witnesses to stay silent. There's more on the story at FoxNews.com. Subscribe to the Fox True Crime Podcast with Emily Campagno. I'm Gianna Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute.
She's a great photographer for the Billings Gazette, and she wrote about paying off her own student loans. Great story. Check it out. Go to MontanaTalks.com.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Just because no one's taking any action on the looming insolvencies of Social Security and Medicare doesn't mean that changes aren't needed. Indeed, responsible leadership would be communicating that obvious fact. What sorts of changes? Social Security is the easiest to fix. Increasing the taxable maximum income, increasing the taxation of benefits, and tinkering with the retirement age, cost of living adjustment, and benefit formulas are needed. You won't like any of those, but it's the economic equivalent of eating your spinach. What freezes progress on these obvious fixes is the avalanche of while-you're-at-it tweaks that pull and tug what began as a simple retirement program in dozens of different directions. Medicare is what requires a serious rethink. We're all endlessly told it's popular, but a diet of sugary donuts is popular with your kids as well. A program where patients and providers select from menus of services that have no price tags on them will never be able to control costs. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Well, I mentioned we got a great lineup here all morning long. Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour of the show, we'll open up the phone lines for you. Anything and everything you want to talk about for the at least the first half of the 8 o'clock hour. And then a guest from the Heritage Foundation is going to tell you about this new inflation calculator that they've got available where you can actually, find out, a Montana-specific number about the true costs of Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, and John Tester's inflation and what it's costing you. Then again, you don't really need a calculator, right? You're like, Aaron, I got my grocery bill, I got my gas bill, I got this bill, I know the cost of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and John Tester's policies, but you can get a specific number here. And more importantly, then share that number with your friends, because the fake news media, you know, they're going to run cover for John Tester. They're already doing it with this phony fake fact check from the left wing outfit PolitiFact when it comes to the Senate race. So they're not going to get the truth out to your friends and neighbors. This will be a tool that you can use to get the word out to your friends and neighbors. Hey, before I get to our guests, let me sneak in a call here, because actually it's tied in with our conversation that we're going to have here. We've got our friend Tim in Savage out there on the Mondakistan border on the phone lines, and he reached out to me earlier this morning, and he said, hey, what time should I call in? And I said, you know, why don't you call in when Dr. Dale Williams and Dr. Jordan from Billings Last Diet are in studio with us, and they're in studio with us right now. But Tim, I understand you've been listening to this show for how many years now, and you're finally doing it. You're going to Billings Last Diet. You're going to take advantage of their remote option, huh?
Well, and I've been listening to the show since the onset, and listening to you with your other show too. So I've heard you for a long time talking about Billings Last Diet, and in the meantime, I ended up, I was holding my own, but then I broke my knee, and then I ended up, stopped running, and then the pounds just continued to build up, and I finally decided that's it, I'm doing it. And so I went down to Billings and met with the folks last week, and they got me on a plan, and I started on Monday morning, and I'm seeing the pounds come off. I'm already down 5.5 pounds from Sunday night to now, and the plan works, and it's amazing. They are so good about staying in touch. I mean, the calls and everything. And in fact, last night when I finally got home, I made the dinner, matched everything all up perfectly, and I looked at my plate and said, man, that's an awful lot of food. I don't know if I can eat all of it. I told you last week after meeting with them, I was already hungry for next week, thinking about, I mean, that's all I get. But, man, it really works. It's filling, and I'm feeling good.
Have you felt the sugar rush of burning the fat yet when you get into that ketosis feeling?
Not yet. Like I said, this is only day 3 for me, but I expect that ketosis to kick in either tonight or tomorrow or something like that. But, my biggest fear was just the pit in your gut that you're just hungry and looking for something. But I'm feeling that a little bit. But every time I feel that grumble, I just reach for the water bottle and take another swig. I can keep it away. But I did Atkins years and years ago, and I know what it feels like when you go into ketosis, so I know that it's going to kick in. But what I'm so impressed with is actually how good the food is. I mean, I looked at the box of Ideal Protein shakes and soups and things like that, and I thought, oh, that's breakfast and lunch, huh? But it's really good. I like their products, the strawberry smoothie.
Yeah,
basil soup is great.
I like their. I've talked a lot about the Dorado protein chips, and I liked them 6 years ago, but they're even better now because they got even more seasoning on them. In fact, I ate a chip yesterday for my mid morning snack, and I was like, "Oh man, there was so much seasoning on that one." I had to clear my throat before I came back on air. I was like, "They were such good chips." Well, Tim, thanks for the call, and yeah, keep us updated on your progress. And very cool to hear firsthand reports. Dr. Dale Williams, what stood out to you with what Tim just said there?
So he's right on track. This is the fun thing about Billings Last Diet is we can see where they're going to be at in the protocol. We can almost predict how each day is going to happen. And he's in day 3. He's at the bottom of that first gas tank where his blood sugars are low. And the body's going to say, hey, I've got to find energy somewhere else, so it's time to kick into ketosis. So he's right on track. And he's got it nailed in, because today or tomorrow he's going to kick into ketosis and that energy will come up. That pit in the stomach thing, that is very, very common. It's you think you're hungry, but then when you go to your vegetables and you eat your vegetables, you still have a little bit, or your protein, you still have that little bit of a pit of the stomach hunger. That's more craving than true hunger. And what the body's saying is, give me some simple carbs. Give me a candy bar like you used to, or give me a piece of bread or something that I can turn quickly into energy. And that pit of the stomach thing, That'll disappear as well as he kicks into ketosis. The body will say energy's good.
Yeah. We talk a lot about this with weight loss. It's more psychological than physical. Most people don't realize that they have an addiction. They've used snacks as a binky their whole life to, you know, forget whatever they're feeling or to just kind of push back the day and kind of decompress. And the issue with that is you eat more calories than you actually need, and that's how you continually gain weight throughout years and years. And so if you can get past that psychological factor, that comfort food factor, and realize that it's not really hunger, it's that craving Dr. Williams talked about, you can really do a lot for your health.
Yeah, I was thinking about that when I watched UFC 306 on Saturday night with these UFC fighters, and these guys will, like, the 2 weeks before they weigh in for their fights, I mean, I was down at their Performance Institute in Vegas, and their dietitians and everybody was telling us, like, what they do to cut weight. It's insane, and you don't even have to go to those kind of lengths on Billings Last Diet, but these fighters do it and then still fight for their lives practically in a UFC fight. It's amazing how they can do it.
Yeah, the body is really amazing. It'll go to the energy source that's available. And if there's a quick hit energy source available, or if they have to go into ketosis, it'll be available. And that's what they do to cut weight, is they get into ketosis. They're cutting fat. They're dropping that so that they can make their weight for the fight. So, yeah, it's all about science, and that's what we try to emphasize. And I'm so glad that we're excited to see how Tim's progress, and he's going to do great because he's got the right attitude, he's got the right reason for losing the weight, and that's what makes the difference.
That's right. Dr. Jordan, one of the things I told Tim, I was going to say it again on air, but I told him off air when he was telling me, hey, I'm going in, I'm driving to Billings, I'm going to go see the crew at Billings Last Diet. I was like, Tim, you don't need to drive to Billings. They have this remote option now. He's like, yeah, but I'm driving to Livingston anyway, so I figure why not drop in? So, but the point being is that, hey, whether you're out there on the Montana-North Dakota border or you're listening in Butte right now, for example, you've got a remote option, and it's working. I mean, we had one of our guys call in, longtime listener, lost 100 pounds. He hit his goal. So cool.
You know, it's great. We're also expanding our social media impact as well. So if you want to hear from Dr. Williams or myself, or get some tips and some different tricks from our coaches, check out our social media pages and Facebook and Instagram. We're growing that so you'll have more availability, more contact with us across the state, across the nation, wherever you're at. You can always touch base and get in touch with us there and find some of those recipes and different ideas and motivation for you as well.
Yeah, I got one of those griddle grills. I've had one in my camper, but I finally, you know, my barbecue was kind of going out on me anyway, so I was like, okay, I'm going to just go buy this Blackstone grill. Oh, man, putting, you know, cooking steak on there, cooking vegetables. Heck, you can cook your eggs, everything on there. It's like cooking good, fresh, healthy food is so awesome on that thing.
I just did the same. I've had a griddle forever, a camping griddle, and I finally put that griddle on my barbecue. It fit perfectly. And boy, it does make a difference, especially doing your vegetables on a grill.
Well, yeah. You know, and Tim mentioned this as well. On the program, you're not going to be hungry. You have plenty of vegetables to eat. Most of the time, you just don't know what vegetables you like. And Dr. Williams talked about this in the class. There's a huge list of options that you can eat on the program of vegetables you've probably never heard of. And you can really have a good, healthy meal and not feel like you're on a diet when you're on protocol.
Well, and then there's some unlimited options too, where there's some vegetables that are virtually calorie free, and so what they help you through that list too, where you can find out, okay, hey, if it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon and you're like, man, I already had my protein snack now, but I just want something else. Well, here's what you do, and so it works out. But it's having those coaches to really walk you through it is what's so key. Dr. Williams, when's your next free seminar? And then for our remote option folks, what's the best way for them to get engaged?
So we have a seminar today. Every Wednesday at noon, we have that seminar. And then our next evening seminar is tomorrow. Tomorrow evening at 6 o'clock, we'll have a seminar to introduce people to the program. And for the remote dieters, go to our webpage or give us a call, 294-6751. We'd be happy to get you set up and go to those social media sites. You'll be able to see where those seminars are.
You brought in the young guns to help you with social media.
That's
huh?
exactly it. And he knows it, and everybody else knows it, because that is not my forte.
All right, Dr. Dale Williams and Dr. Jordan, great to see both you guys. Great chiropractors as well, so they'll get you straightened up in more ways than just your diet and nutrition. Great to see both you guys. Thanks for dropping in.
Thanks, Aaron.
Thank you.
All right, quick break. We got phone lines open for you right now, 294-0970.
This podcast is supported by Progressive, a leader in RV insurance. RVs are for sharing adventures with family, friends, and even your pets. So if you bring your cats and dogs along for the ride, you'll want Progressive RV insurance. They protect your cats and dogs like family by offering up to $1,000 in optional coverage for vet bills in case of an RV accident, making it a great companion for the responsible pet owner who loves to travel. See Progressive's other benefits and more when you quote RV insurance at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Pet injuries and additional coverage and subject to policy terms.
It's news commentary.
Texas Governor Greg Abbott declares Frente Aragua a foreign terrorist organization. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
Kudlow on Fox Business is now on the go for podcast fans. Download the Kudlow Show podcast every weekday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com. Kudlow covers the latest headlines and business trends with an emphasis on the financial impact facing households and businesses across the country. Listen to interviews with key business newsmakers. The Kudlow podcast will be available on the go after the show every weekday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
Once again, the border state of Texas is having to clean up for the Biden-Harris administration and deal with yet another consequence of its policies. The Venezuelan gang Frente Aragua is taking root in cities across America, including El Paso, Texas. This gang has been linked to the viral footage in that apartment complex in Aurora, Colorado, as well as to the murder of Georgia nursing student Laken Riley. And because Venezuela does not cooperate with the U.S. government, there's little our border agents can do to vet these gang members before they cross our border. And that is why Texas Governor Greg Abbott is doing what the Biden-Harris administration won't. He is declaring Frente Aragua a foreign terrorist organization and instructed the Texas Department of Public Safety to collaborate with the federal and local law enforcement agencies to establish a database to track these gang members and their activity across the state. So once again, thank you, Texas. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
Baby vaccine at VaxAssist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Brought to you from the Hot Spring Spas and Hot Tub Company, Friends Recommend Studio.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, man, this is pretty funny. We were talking with Dr. Jordan and Dr. Dale Williams from Billings Last Diet. And Dr. Jordan, he was talking about how, you know, we will have a tendency to use food or beverages like a binky. Whether, you know, if we're having, you know, a rough day or whatever, you use these things like a binky. And I got a note from Tim out there on the Mondakistan border. He says, bagels were my binky. Bagels were my binky. Yeah, put that one on a bumper sticker. That was great. All right, let's see. Man, where do we go next? What do we talk about next? This is why I love getting your phone calls, because it's kind of like cheating. You know, it's like man, I got six or seven things I could talk about. But then when you guys call into the show, it's like, all right, let's talk about that. 406-294-0970. We got a couple minutes left here in this. Well, you know what? Save it for the 8 o'clock hour. It's already getting late now here in the hour. But we'll have open phones for the first half of the 8 o'clock hour. Same deal with the 9 o'clock hour. Just scrolling through my Twitter, there was a great tweet from that gal in eastern Montana who goes by the name Tester Will Not Be Reelected on X. What was she talking about? Oh, Peter Ducey in for the win. Did you guys see Peter Ducey roasting White House spokeswoman Karine Jean-Pierre for their continued violent rhetoric against Donald J. Trump? Peter Ducey called him out. I'll start with that in the 8 o'clock hour of the show and get to your phone calls. Jesse Waters on Fox News last night also had another great segment where he dove in to this second assassination attempt on President Trump.
They're putting a target on Donald Trump's back and saying Fox asking questions about it's dangerous. Who's threatening who here? It's dangerous to ask questions in America now. When did this country become like this? A hardcore Democrat with a Biden-Harris bumper sticker came this close to assassinating the Republican nominee for president, and the media is blaming Republicans for radicalizing him.
Let's stop this both sides stuff.
It's a bunch of...
Because it's not correct. Right. It is not both sides. It is one clear side. And you can point to many, many reports. You can point to all kinds of stuff that's been reported. You guys have to, you have to pull it back. This is not us or them. This is you got to stop doing what you're doing.
We went from the country needs to tone down the rhetoric to just one side does. The side who someone's trying to kill. The victim needs to shut up and take it. CNN says Trump had it coming.
Donald Trump, as he said, and it's absolutely true, he created this specter of political violence that we all now live under, and he lives under it too. And so it is his rhetoric that has been, you know, creating this environment for the last 8 years.
The New York Times says Trump seems to inspire people to make threats or take actions both for him and against him.
Yeah, so basically the great point made by Jesse Waters is they are victim shaming. They are victim blaming. They are blaming the victim for the attempts on his life. And that point he made about Peter Doocy and Fox News, you'll hear the audio coming up here in the 8 o'clock hour of this show. Peter Doocy raised a really good question about how the Biden White House, how Kamala Harris, how KJP, how Joe Biden, how they continue to refer to Donald Trump, the man, not his policies, but Donald Trump, the man, as the threat. Even though they're the ones that have us on the brink of World War III because of their policies. And when Peter Doocy called out KJP, her response was something to the effect of she basically said that it was dangerous for Peter Doocy to question them on their violent rhetoric. So you questioning them is dangerous. But them getting us on the brink of World War III, them now exposing a president of the United States, a former president, to a second attempt on his life. They just want to brush that all aside. All right, we'll play that audio coming up in the 8 o'clock hour and then get to your phone calls, 406-294-0970.